You're listening to Alternative to Sleeping with Ethan Allman here on WCDB, and I'd like to welcome to the program Steve J. Steve, how's it going?
Going great. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for calling in.
No problem.
So on October 18th, you guys are coming to Albany. What can we expect from this show, this current lineup of songs?
Well, it's a bunch of songs from the new album and some songs revived from the past that I haven't played in a while, along with you know, what goes with it, the costume changes and the videos and all that stuff.
Right. Now, what is your favorite song to play live?
Right now, it's Another Tattoo.
Oh, I'm really excited about seeing that one live.
Yeah, it's such a great bass part. I'm not sure who the guy who played the bass on the original recording was, but he wrote a wonderful part. It's really fun to play.
Now, when you're writing the parody, do you look at the sheet music, or do you just do it by ear?
Do it by ear.
Yeah.
I mean, once in a great while, there might be a question, at which point I might call up the original artist. A long time ago when we were doing a parody of, I guess it was Piano Man, it sounded like they were using an upright bass. Actually, it sounded like one of those K upright basses, the mm-hmm. plywood basses, that sort of sounds a little bit upright, a little bit electric. Anyway, I wanted to get it right, so I put in a call to Billy Joel and his assistant took a call. I never actually got an answer to that question, though. I think he didn't recall what kind of bass it was.
Oh, okay.
So we just went ahead and did it on electric, but usually there's not any question about it. You can pretty much tell what kind of bass it is and what's going on. So, yeah, do it by ear.
Now, I've always wondered, how often does it take for you guys to practice the Yoda chant? Like, how much time do you spend on that?
Well, since we've been doing it a long time, you know, just adding a little bit each year.
Yeah.
It doesn't really take a lot. It's pretty well tattooed on our cerebellums from doing it so many times, you know.
Now,
it's surprising how it all comes back. It seems really long when you look at it from the outside, but
right.
I say we've been at a little bit each year. So.
Now, was it painful the first time you guys did it, learning it that time?
No, not particularly.
You think it's about the same as learning a song? I don't know. I feel like that would be harder just to synchronize everything. Maybe that's just me, though.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot like just doing a vocal, you know, except we're not playing our instruments, so it makes
right.
it a little bit easier. Yeah, but the hardest thing was one time, eons ago, Al had me singing a backup part to some song. It was a doo-wop song, but it was he translated it into Cambodian. And so you had to sing really fast, and it was all syllables that, you know, were basically nonsense syllables, since
right.
I didn't understand what I was saying, so you'd have to sing really fast and strange
right.
strange mouth forms too to make these words. I remember that was quite a bit challenging, but the things in the Yoda chant are pretty straightforward and unique, and of course the African part of the Yoda chant, the stuff that I wrote that
oh,
a long
cool.
time ago when I lived in West Africa and wrote that. And
oh, really?
Recently, I asked if we could include it in the Yoda chant. So, yeah, it was that's how the song Big Shoes on my album Tangled Strings starts
mm-hmm.
off with that. Or wait, no, it's on See Never Dry. It starts off with that thing.
Oh, cool.
Al liked it, so he added it into the Yoda chant. So that part's easy for me. I think it was a little difficult for those guys to learn.
Right. So, I guess, sorry to ask all these Yoda chant questions, but did Al write most of it, or do you guys kind of contribute to it equally?
Well, like I said, I wrote that African part. The rest
right.
of it is things that Al found, basically, and like the kata kata, tatita nagina nagitita, all that stuff is the rhythms, the spoken rhythms of Indian tabla, the drum, when they're teaching the class, or teaching a player to play the tabla.
Oh.
He uses these spoken rhythms to do it. And then, of course, the Hawaiian war chant is the Hawaiian war chant. And, you know, most of the things in there came prefab. I mean, there's a few little things like ziggy, zoggy, oi, 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 that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
But it's all kind of found objects.
Right. Now, before, you know, joining with Al, were you mainly a bass player?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you've always been a bass player.
Yeah, since I was a little kid.
Did you like know of Al's music before you joined up?
No, not really. Because when I met him, maybe there hadn't been much music. I guess the only thing that had come out was another one, Ride for the Bus, that single.
Right. Were you into comedy music before you guys met?
I hadn't played in any comedy bands. No, it was all what you'd call serious bands, I guess.
So did you kind of look down on comedy musicians, or is it always just been, cool? Doesn't really matter.
Well, I don't really know what a comedy musician is, actually. I guess I never
Right.
really know what that would be, you know? I mean, actually, I saw one band a long, long time ago called the Ha Ha Vishnu Orchestra, and they were really, really nice to watch. I didn't find myself looking down in the least, and they're really funny too. This is back in the 70s, I guess.
Yeah. Are you still in Akinzui? Is that something you're still doing?
Oh yeah.
So, how often do you guys do shows? Do you do them parallel with the Al tours, or is that just off-season kind of stuff?
Yeah, one time we did parallel with the Al tours. We went around the U.S. and also Australia because Pete, who is my drummer, Zooey, Pete Gallagher, he came on the tour with us as Al's drummer's drum tech. So on days off and other occasions that presented themselves, we did shows. And then after the tour left Australia, Pete and I stayed down there, I think, for a couple extra weeks and did shows in Australia.
Oh,
But
cool.
now it's kind of just whenever our schedules permit. Pete tours a lot too, and so when we find ourselves both available, we do that as much as possible. So we have a new CD that just came out. It'll be up on iTunes in a couple of days, and so we'll be out playing those songs.
Oh, cool. So what's the new album?
It's called Chaos, Clouds, and Tongue.
And is it all instrumental or do you sing on it?
Oh no, I'm a singer. That's what I do.
Oh, yeah.
I think sing and play bass, yeah,
Oh, cool.
and other instruments.
But bass is your favorite.
They're all so wonderful. But I have a brand new one that I really like that was made for me by my good friend Elliot Rubinson. He owns Steam Guitars. He turned me loose in their custom shop and let me, figure out a shape and
Oh,
pick out the
cool.
woods, the dimensions, and design it for sort of myself. So I went and averaged out all the specifications of my favorite basses and rolled them all into one, and now this just plays like a dream. But I really love playing a lot of different basses, although this one now I just can't seem to put it down.
Is that one on tour with you?
Yeah.
So, just which one can we look for at the show so we know which one it is?
Okay, it's a curly maple top. It's pretty honey colored or
Okay.
amber colored. It's real hard to you wouldn't be able to miss it, and it has inlays that are reminiscent of alligator teeth on the neck, because my friend Elliot used to have a nickname for me when we used to be fellow bass players in Tampa. He called me Gator for some reason. So with this alligator teeth inlay on my bass,
Oh,
and
cool.
it's the one I'll be playing most of the time. That's also, I played it pretty much exclusively in that Comedy Central live concert that we just taped.
Oh, yeah. What was that like? You guys haven't filmed a concert in a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Oh, it's great. Great hall, great audience,
Yeah.
really great director. Yeah, it was Wayne Isham was the director, and he was, just to say he was easy to work with would be an understatement. Yeah, he just made it really fun.
Now, is the special the same as what you guys are still touring with?
It has songs from the current tour, but it's not the whole tour. I think it's like a top-down 40-minute version.
Okay, so if we watch the special when it airs, it won't ruin the live show.
Hope not. I
Okay.
mean, there's a lot of the same songs, although the songs, there's a little bit of changing in the songs from night to night. But
Right.
yeah, it is one of our first shows of this. Wait, let me think real here. Currently here. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was one of the first shows of this tour.
So was it kind of weird recording the first show? Because maybe, after doing the show 10, 20 times, you're more comfortable, with the songs and the order and stuff? Or do you think it was pretty much, it was fine?
No, it was just fine. It wasn't the first time. I think we had been out for a week and a half or so when we did
Okay.
this. And yeah, everything went great.
Cool. So that's out on October 1st.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it should be nice. Wayne Isom's a great director. Good look.
So now, I read online that when you actually did join Al, it was answering a newspaper ad.
Yeah, there was. It just said he wanted to form a band to play at the Roxy, and I had just moved out to LA, and I played a bunch of places, but I hadn't played the Roxy, so I thought, okay, I'd like to play there. So,
Cool.
that's when I called him.
So, what was the actual audition like? Was it just like you and Al in a room, or?
Yeah, John was there because Al had already met Tom, and Al's manager Jay Levy was there too.
Okay.
And as I recall, they asked me to play the bass line from his song "Happy Birthday,"
Okay.
which I guess was on the EP with back in the "Another One Rides the Bus" era.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just a few songs, and that was it.
So was it like you finished playing the song and they said you got it, or did you have to wait a few days or a week or something?
It was a while later that they called me back, as I recall. It's been a long time. I don't remember how
Right,
long, but
right.
it wasn't immediate.
Well, I guess that was a good call going for that audition.
Yeah, it was good for Jim, my friend Jim, too, because after they hired me, I called him up to be the guitarist, and then later on, Al asked me if I knew any keyboard players, so I called up Ruben, a friend of mine named Dave McLaurin, a sax player.
Oh, cool.
And
So you contributed to pretty much more than half the band.
well, Jim and Ruben, yeah, they came through me. I mean, in the beginning, it was just Al and John and me, and I guess, we recorded the first album with Rick Derringer on guitar.
Right.
But then right after I joined, I called Jim, and he was ready to do it. So he was playing live gigs with us, and he started playing on the second album. And then I guess it was 20 years ago when we kept having keyboard players come and go, and Ruben, or rather Al, just asked me if I knew any good keyboard players, and I really didn't. So I called up Dave McLaurin, who's a sax player for Joe Higgs, who I used to play with, and Dave gave me Ruben's number, so gave him a call, and that's how he got in.
Wow, that's great. Now, when you joined initially, did you anticipate it leading to a 30-year consistent career?
No, it just seemed like something fun to do at the time,
Right.
no long-term plans.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate you doing the interview.
No sweat.
I'm looking forward to the show on October 18th at the Palace Theater. I think it's gonna be great.
All right.
All right. Steve, thank you very much.
You bet, Ethan.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.